This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica. Happy Thanksgiving week. I want to bring you an update on two legal stories. I want to talk to you about the Menendez brothers case and also about a proposed transgender bathroom bill. Two very different legal cases, but they've both been in the news. I've talked a bit about both of them, and I want to try and explain what's actually happening here. So first, let's talk about the Menendez brothers. I think most people who are listening know that they were found guilty of first-degree murder for murdering their parents, Kitty and Jose Menendez. The murder took place in Beverly Hills in the late 1980s. They were ultimately tried twice. The first time that the brothers were tried, there was some evidence of sexual abuse by Jose Menendez against the brothers that was introduced at trial. And in that case, the jury was not able to reach a verdict and a mistrial was declared. They were then tried again a few years later. In that particular case, the second case, the evidence of sexual abuse was not brought to the jury, and the jury convicted. Again, first-degree murder convictions, and the sentence was life without the possibility of parole. Now the Menendez brothers and their attorney, a well-known attorney, Mark Garagos, are trying three different tacks to get out of prison. And again, if none of these are successful, it means that they will spend the rest of their lives behind bars because the sentence was life without the possibility of parole. So what are these three different routes? Well, the first is they're asking for resentencing. And this is largely based on the idea that they have been model prisoners, that they shouldn't spend the rest of their lives behind bars. And it's also in part based on the idea that the reason they're behind bars at all, the reason that they killed their parents, is because they were victims of horrible sexual abuse. Now, the second tact here is a habeas petition, and this more directly attacks the convictions. And in part, this is based on the idea, one, that evidence of sexual abuse should have been introduced in the second trial, but more importantly, that there's new evidence of sexual abuse, and specifically that there's an accusation by one of the brothers, a new letter uncovered that he writes to a family member saying that he fears for what happens to him every night, basically that Jose Menendez abuses his sons on a regular basis. It's a terrible accusation. And this is coupled with apparently a new accusation that was made at the time also by a member of the Latin boy band Menudo, who had claimed well before the murders that Jose Menendez had raped him. So those two pieces of new evidence really form the basis of the habeas petition, where the argument is essentially boils down to the idea that the jury might not have convicted on first-degree murder if they were able to hear that evidence. And so in that case, what they're asking for is not quite a resentencing, but either vacating the conviction and or a new hearing on the new evidence. The third route is a request for clemency, and that is obviously a request to the governor, Governor Newsom, that he grants clemency. What is clemency? It's kind of the state equivalent of a pardon. And he could say, I have decided that you should not serve the rest of your sentences. Now, where are we on all of these routes? When it comes to the clemency appeal, the plea for clemency, Governor Newsom has said, I'm waiting for the district attorney's office to make decisions when it comes to these appeals for resentencing or the habeas petition. So he's basically saying, I'm waiting to see what happens in the district attorney's office. Now, that brings us to what's happening in the district attorney's office, which is there's been an election and the current district attorney, George Gascon, was voted out of office. There will be a new district attorney, Nathan Hochman. And he has asked for more time to look at the case, which I think makes all the sense in the world. He's saying, I need to look at the files and I'm going to make my own independent assessment about the case. So what happened this week, Thanksgiving week, is that there was a status hearing in the case, and it was specifically involving the resentencing. And essentially what happened is that the judge said, I need more time here. And he said, and I think the district attorney needs more time as well. So that particular hearing is put off until the end of January. There is separately going to be a hearing with respect to the habeas petition. The hearing on that, the timing could change as well. So we don't know what's going to happen. I will say that even though obviously we're talking about this case because it has gained national attention and because there was a Netflix series and celebrities have weighed in on whether or not the brothers should be let out of prison, that doesn't mean that they will be set free. There's still a lot that needs to happen here. For instance, for the resentencing route, what you would need is a judge to agree that they should be resentenced. That question then goes to the parole board, and then Governor Newsom could still overrule the parole board with some limitations if he wants to. So for people who are waiting to see what happens, what I would say is, I think if anything happens, meaning if any of these routes are successful, I don't expect that we are talking about days or weeks here. I think we're talking about months and months. Now, that, I hope, is an update about where we are with respect to the Menendez brothers and their legal appeals at this point. Next, I want to bring you, as I said, an update on a bill that's been introduced and got a lot of attention this week. And this is a bill, again, introduced by Congresswoman Nancy Mace, and it's aimed at banning transgender individuals from using bathrooms aligned with their gender identity in federal buildings. And the question for us is that legal? And so what I would say is it depends on a couple of issues. The first is we need to try and figure out what type of classification this is, meaning a law that targets transgender people, is this something called a suspect classification, or is it a quasi-suspect classification, or is it none of the above? Now, what do I mean by that? Suspect classifications are the types of classifications where when the government makes them, then we're very suspicious and we apply the highest level of scrutiny. We apply something called strict scrutiny. And the quintessential example of a suspect classification is a classification based on race. Now, what about quasi-suspect classifications? Those are classifications where we're still suspicious of the government, but not quite as much. And therefore, we use something called intermediate scrutiny instead of heightened scrutiny. What's the quintessential example of a quasi-suspect classification? It's a classification based on sex. So, for instance, no woman can be students at the Virginia Military Institute. That is a classification based on sex. And that's an example coming from a famous case. Now, then there are other types of classifications, like classifications based on age, for instance, or maybe based on wealth. And those are classifications that are not seen as suspect. They're not seen as quasi-suspect. And therefore, they're subject to typically the lowest level of scrutiny, which is something called rational basis. So what about a classification based on transgender status? I think the best answer is that that is probably seen as a, quote, quasi-suspect classification and therefore subject to intermediate scrutiny. Now, why do I think this? In part because of a 2020 Supreme Court decision in the Bostock case. And this was a decision that was interpreting Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This is a statute that prohibits employment discrimination based on sex. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, said that discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation is a form of sex discrimination under Title VII. Or put another way, sex discrimination includes discrimination based on gender identity. So This gives us, I think, an indication that we would view a classification based on gender identity the same as we would view a classification based on sex. And that means under a analysis of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, we would use something again called intermediate scrutiny. So when we are asking, when it comes to this transgender bill, whether or not it would violate the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, I think what we would say is, well, it looks like this is the type of classification that gets intermediate scrutiny. And that means the government has to come forward with an important government interest, and the law has to be closely drawn to serve that interest. In this case, we know from public statements that the government might say that the interest here is in safety in public bathrooms, for instance. And the question when the court, if it ever does, if this bill is ever actually enacted and then challenged, the question would be whether or not that truly is an important government interest here. Now, do we have any precedent to give us guidance? Well, we have two circuit court cases. So the 11th Circuit in 2022 said that a Florida school board's policy of requiring students to use bathrooms corresponding to their sex assigned at birth did not violate the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause or Title IX, when Title IX is about discrimination in educational facilities. What about the other case? There was a Fourth Circuit case, and there the court ruled that a transgender student has the right to use the bathroom aligning with their gender identity. They interpreted Title IX to include gender identity as part of sex discrimination, and that in part was based on that Supreme Court decision that we just talked about. So what do we have here? I think it's fair to say we have circuit courts that are maybe making decisions in different directions, meaning coming to somewhat different conclusions. And therefore, we have a situation where this issue might go up to the Supreme Court. Now, there is also, I will just preview, a big transgender rights case that is going to be argued before the Supreme Court on Wednesday, December 4th. And we will certainly break down that case and likely devote an episode to that, because I think that is thus far the biggest case of the Supreme Court term. So I hope that answers your questions about the Menendez brothers and this proposed bill regarding transgender rights in public bathrooms. And we will bring you more on all of these issues as they progress. I wish everybody a wonderful holiday.